JSF 90.1 FM, and we hope you have a great holiday season.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and we wish you the best for the new year.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded December 28th, 2023. While the latest manifestation of Israel's murderous, self-declared war against the Palestinian people taking place these past months in Gaza and increasingly across the West Bank has also spread offshore, Yemen's Ansar Allah or Houthi movement is waging a war on Israeli shipping in the Red Sea in an effort to relieve the brutal embargo Israel is levying against Gaza. A recent Houthi statement says, quote, "If Gaza does not receive the food and medicine it needs, all ships in the Red Sea bound for Israeli ports, regardless of their nationality, will become a target for our armed forces. Those vital supplies have so far been denied the 2.5 million people currently being bombed, and the Houthis have been as good as their word. What has resulted is a growing crowd of armed international actors floating around the Bab el-Mandeb Straits in both the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, with more promised to come." John Helmer is a journalist and author who's spent decades living in and reporting from Russia. Principal behind the web news site Dances with Bears, Helmer has too been a professor of political science, sociology, and journalism, and served as advisor to governments at the highest levels. Among his many book titles are Skripal in Prison, The Man Who Knows Too Much About Russia, The Jackal's Wedding, American Power, Arab Revolt, The Lie That Shot Down MH17, Sovcom Plot, How Pirates Tried to Capture the Treasure of the Russian Seas and Were Caught Out, and his lately released autobiography, Dunce Upon a Time, A Life of Mistakes. Today, John Helmer and Yemen's big squeeze on the world economy in defense of Gaza, Palestine. Welcome back to the program, John.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris.
Well, it's always my great pleasure. Of course, now, John, you've spent much of Hanukkah and Christmas 12 days watching the fuse to World War III burning in the Red Sea and writing several articles about it at Dances with Bears. Firstly, for those who've spent the last 3 weeks in blissful ignorance or worse, subject to the Anglo-American Empire presses, what's the Houthi strategy in their maritime campaign in the Red Sea, John?
Well, let's start with a qualification, Chris. As you introduced me, I've been a Russia correspondent for the last 30 years. Before that, I was in the Arab world. I was for some time at the League of Arab States, at the Secretary General's office as an advisor. And I know a certain amount about Arab politics, but I also know when to keep my mouth shut because I don't know. Each Arab state's got very, very complicated politics like everywhere else. And I don't pretend to know, and I haven't been following for many years, the conflict, the civil war in Yemen, the involvement of other Arab states, the involvement of Western states, and the development of the Houthi movement. So I don't pretend to know from the inside how they think and what they do. Let's take them, however, at their word and at their action. Their strategy is simply to, as they explain it, to support the Palestinian operation and the Palestinian resistance to Israel and the Palestinian and Arab fight in this war against Israel and in Israel's genocide against the Gazans. And by what they're doing is what they can do. They can fire their long-range missiles at Israel's territory, principally in the south, the port of Eilat on the Gulf of Aqaba, on feeding into the Red Sea. And they are attacking any Israel-related cargo ship coming to or from Israel. Now, that's involved a great deal of intelligence about the nature of the way of Israeli shipping and the camouflages, partly tax dodging, partly a military purpose of camouflaging Israeli-owned or Israeli-directed vessels and giving them other flags, other registrations, other forms of partnership and management. So what the Houthis have been able to demonstrate is that they can strike any Israel-related tanker or container ship moving through the Red Sea in northwards to Eilat or southwards to other ports. And they've been demonstrating that day in, day out. There were several operations on December the 26th, for example, and each of them, when you scratch the surface, you discover that the Houthis do understand that no vessel disguised as another type of ownership will escape their attention. And the effect of that has been to produce a dramatic reorientation of all the shipping fleets, the oil tankering and the container fleets out of the Suez Canal Red Sea route and around the Cape of Good Hope. I say all, but there are some profound exceptions. Those are the countries that have agreed to make direct engagement with the Houthis and with Iran, China and Russia and India in particular, have made arrangements for oil and container cargoes to pass unhindered, unchallenged and unthreatened. So what we see is that the coalition against Palestine, against the Arabs, against the Houthis, is turning into something similar to the coalition against Russia on the Ukrainian battlefield.
People that do pretend to know more than they actually do about all this, like Global News here in Canada, they have a header this dated the day before Christmas, so I'll give them a break in that regard. It says commercial ships can safely pass through the Red Sea again, quote, most welcome news. And that quote comes from the shipping giant Maersk, who they say the Operation Prosperity Guardian has been set up and deployed and has allowed commerce to continue as normal. They say that the entire industry and indeed the functionality of global trade is back on track. Are they being maybe a little premature?
The polite word is premature. The correct word is baloney. What Maersk did, Maersk is a Danish container operator, dry cargo operator, and a very large one. Maersk has announced that they intend to resume, but they haven't given a date or a time when. And so far as I know, and I'm indebted to the Russian military bloggers who are in turn indebted to Russian military intelligence for showing maps of the military deployments in multi-nation naval deployments are in the area. There are no Maersk resumption of traffic through the Red Sea and through the Suez Canal, northward or southward. On the other hand, if the Maersk executives and if the Danish government were secretly negotiating with the Houthis, then they would have resumption. That's a position, however, that would depend not on the ill-named Pentagon Prosperity Guardian operation, but rather on the direct acquiescence of the Houthis. But they would have to also agree that they will not deliver cargo to Israel and they will not carry cargo from Israel. If Maersk did that, that would be the breakthrough Maersk has announced. However, what we're seeing is that the French, Italians, and Spaniards, they're trying to protect their shipping lines with something comparable. But we can talk some more about that. Maersk at the moment has not resumed. The Canadian report about that is baloney.
Well, you've got an article up at Dances with Bears, Russian identification of Houthi tanker target in Indian Ocean, how the Western media are protecting the Israelis. And that comes to the point of just whose prosperity is being guardianed by this Operation Prosperity Guardian. In your article, you say that, curiously, the Americans are not prioritizing American shipping.
I didn't say that. I quoted that from one of the leading maritime news media. Most of these news media are now internet rather than paper publications. And as the shipping correspondent for Russia for many years, I'm pretty familiar with them all. And we recently did a book about Russian shipping. We've talked about that on this program. An outfit called G Captain, one of the, let's say, most read, one of the top five most read maritime news media, and its editor, a man called Conrad, have been accusing the Biden administration, the Navy, the maritime U.S. Maritime Administration, and other U.S. official sources of failing to do what they need to do. And putting together an escort operation which isn't working. That was Conrad's quote, not mine. At the same time, Conrad and G-Captain is providing a daily news roundup of the incidents in the Red Sea. It's not the only one. Hellenic Shipping News out of Athens and Cyprus does the same. The British shipping papers, Lloyd's List in, and the Norwegian one, Trade Winds, will give you almost all the same. But they're all anti-Russian, anti-Arab, pro-Israel. So that the spin they put on it is one designed to crush the Israelis and protect their own maritime shipping and port interests. That's what they're doing.
How are the Houthis identifying which ships have Israeli provenance when they have, when they're carrying false flags, and when even the ownership, when you look into the names of the ships, the ownership isn't always apparent?
It's a very good question. Nobody else in the Western media, and that's the interesting part of this story, is printing how accurately the Houthis are targeting vessels. The entire shipping community knows what's happening, but they don't want to print it. Conrad of G Captain, who's based in California, doesn't want to print how accurately the Houthis are attacking Israeli connection in the maritime business. Nobody wants to report the way in which the Israelis have been trying to hide their identity through Singapore cutouts and Dutch cutout companies. And in this particular most recent case, between in a so-called cooperative agreement between Mediterranean Shipping Company, an Italian family-owned company, and ZIM. So they're doing, these Houthis are doing an excellent job of maritime research. The Western maritime media and the Western mass media are concealing what they're doing because they're trying to protect the concealed Israeli shipping interest and the way it operates throughout the world. So the Western media are covering it up. The Houthis are showing by action that they know what's going on.
Well, is there any indication, John, that the these services like Vessel Finder and the others that you say there's many of them, that, and for people who don't understand, you can get satellite tracking maps of airplanes as well, but of ships at sea, and then you zoom in on it and it tells you what the ship, what kind of ship it is, what the name of the ship is, and other information depending on the level of your subscription. Is there any indication, John, that this information be curtailed?
Well, it's a good, again, another very good question, Chris, and we get into the nuts and bolts of the way ships move. What I'm laughing about is that the ships themselves, when they know their potential targets, when their owners are Israelis, what they're doing is turning off their vessel identifier so that they can't be readily, their location can't be readily pinpointed. This doesn't protect them in the Red Sea. The Iranians and the Houthis have access to satellite tracking, and they've got tracking vessels now, the Beshad in the Red Sea and the Safis in the Arabian Sea in the Eastern Indian Ocean. So they can track these the vessels well, whether their transponders are turned off or not. So that the effect of this form of concealment is useless for military purposes, but it conceals where they are from the Western press. The Iranians and the Houthis have managed to elevate their vessel tracking capability quite high. And the Russians appear to be assisting with satellite photography, satellite imagery, which is being shared in a way which in Moscow is also kept secret. But I've been publishing vessel deployment maps, which are popping up in a very little-known military blogger called Militarist. He's been publishing maps of where all the vessels are. He published one, I think I ran on December 22, 23, and you can see where all the where the Chinese fleet is in port in Djibouti. You can see where the Indian vessels are in the Gulf of Aden. You can see the Beshad at anchor in the Red Sea. Yesterday, I published a new story in a tweet, I think it was, because it popped up very suddenly, and I only noticed it after I'd done a piece. The Beshad, after being a sitting duck unarmed in the Red Sea, is now guarded by an Iranian Navy frigate, relatively well-armed and certainly making the cost of an attack on the Beshad very expensive if the Israelis, the Americans, try it. So through the Russians, we're getting an almost real-time deployment of Navy vessels, which is something the commercial vessel finders won't do. So what we have is an extraordinary way of looking at the way in which the world's fleets are facing each other off in these very small, relatively small geographical spaces. What we're also seeing is a total blackout of all of this in the Western media. And why is that? Because the stakes are huge. And yesterday's piece tried to illustrate what the meaning is for France, for example. If you stop both oil and container cargoes moving northward through the Red Sea, Suez Canal, from reaching Marseille, France, which is one of the largest oil receiving and container receiving ports in France, you're cutting off something between one third and 45% of incoming French cargo. If the Houthis have threatened this by implication a few days back, if they were then able to close the Gibraltar Strait to cargoes that were Israel connected, then France is going to suffer a huge damage to its international trade. And this is the stake for France, it's the stake for Italy, it's the stake for Spain and Greece. If the Mediterranean members of the so-called European alliance against Russia on the Ukrainian battlefield want to ignore Israel's genocide in the Gaza, and want to challenge the Arab resistance on the Houthi front, then what they will face is the most serious threat to their trade, their ports, and their shipping in living memory. And that's something the press don't want to report. The consequences domestically and politically of a debate about what that means would be huge. Imagine having to see a debate in the Canadian Parliament or in the French Parliament, or the British Parliament, or the Italian or Spanish Parliament. The debate is, our government will support the Israeli-American genocide of the Arabs in Palestine, and as a result, we are going to lose several percentage points of our GDP. We're going to lose petrol in our cars. We're going to lose television sets in our stores and other food. We're going to lose all of that to support a genocide in Palestine. How many European allies will sign on to that proposition? How many people will go out in the street and say no to genocide, no to alliance with Israel, no to alliance with the United States? That's the stake that the Western press are trying to conceal now.
Well, and that article at your website that you mentioned is U.S.-Israel genocide in Gaza is bad for French shipping and ports, so Macron fires intelligence chief. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with John Helmer. John's a journalist and author. He's spent decades living in and reporting from Russia. He's the principal behind the web news site Dances with Bears, where we're featuring some of his prodigious output over this holiday season surrounding what's going on in the Red Sea. Something that the problem's been solved, according to Canadian media and the shipping giant Maersk, as I mentioned earlier. He's also been a professor of political science, sociology, and journalism, and served as advisor to governments at the highest levels. His book titles include Skripal in Prison, The Man Who Knows Too Much About Russia, The Jackal's Wedding, American Power, Arab Revolt, The Lie That Shot Down MH17, The Most Pertinent SOVCOM Plot, How Pirates Tried to Capture the Treasure of the Russian Seas and Were Caught Out. That's John mentioned. He'd just done a book on shipping. And his latest released book is his autobiography, Dunce Upon a Time, A Life of Mistakes. Well, John, when you say that the press isn't releasing much, that doesn't go for the trade press. As I mentioned, Maersk is putting out press releases, but there's also Equisys and Tradewinds. You write in another article, US-UK maritime industry of the end of the mainstream media are mainstream presses are advocating maximum use of force to attack both Houthi and Iranian targets. So what the maritime press, something that I think most people probably don't even know that there is such a thing, they're not being quiet. They are beating a drum for a greater escalation.
Unfortunately, that's the case. It's certainly the case a G captain in California, and certainly the case in the discreditable Lloyd's List in London. I've been a maritime correspondent for Russia for a Lloyd's List and for many years in the past. They have taken against Russia thoroughly and discreditably because they are not interested in publishing the truth of the maritime position. They weren't interested in doing that during my time. In my time, Lloyd's List was keener on getting Russian shipping advertising and the sponsorship of events that filled out the pockets of Lloyd's List. The journalists involved, people like Richard Mead, the editor of Lloyd's List, and others, were deeply involved in that kind of payola with the Russians, so long as Russia wasn't the declared enemy of NATO. Now that Russia is a declared enemy of NATO and SOVCOM Flot, the Russian state shipping company, is sanctioned by the United States, the UK, and others, Lloyd's List clicks its heels and behaves like the good German. It joins the alliance, whether the alliance is attacking Russia in the Ukrainian battlefield or whether the alliance is killing Palestinians in Gaza. That's the kind of morality that poisons the capability of media like Lloyd's List and journalists associated with it in their attempt to sell their maritime services to the industry. The industry, however, has got more sense. Why? It's obvious why. Maersk is announcing that it will resume, and we started with this, soon. It is organizing one particular transit of a vessel that will go from Tangier, Morocco, to Singapore through the Suez Canal and the Red Sea. What they don't announce is how they've negotiated safe passage for that vessel with the Houthis and with the Iranians. So G Captain won't report that. The Danish media won't report that. And Lloyd's List won't report that. The Singapore shipping press won't report that. So what we've got is the shipping companies understand that the consequence of the war in Gaza is ruinous potentially and certainly costly in the short term for their business. The governments behind them understand that. The port unions of Marseille understand that. Those are the forces now working against Israel and against the United States and General Austin's Guardian Prosperity operation, not because they care about the genocide of the Palestinians. They don't care. They care about their vessels. They care about their pockets. And that is becoming a new motivation that's transforming the maritime business. However, this isn't something that the traditional Anglo-American media want to report, just as they don't want to report the transformation of oil and gas shipping by the way in which U.S. sanctions have attempted to stop Russian oil and Russian gas going to the market. But that's a story we've talked about in the past. It's in the Sovcom Flot story, and we can come back to it later. Right now, the U.S. operations and the Israeli operations against the Arabs are transforming the world shipping business in a way nobody wants to admit in the West.
Well, John, I'm going to take a break here, and we're going to continue with an extended version of this. This will be the end of the truncated version, so go to guerrilla-radio.com if you want to hear the rest of this conversation.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York, Guerrilla Radio is everywhere at guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with John Helmer. John's a journalist and author who spent decades living in and reporting from Russia. He's the principal behind the web news site Dances with Bears. We're talking about today the situation in the Red Sea. Can I just pick up where we left off here? You mentioned that the Suez crisis, you write about this in your article, the importance of shipping to Israel right now. I don't know that people are entirely aware of the extent to which Israel is dependent on shipping, and when that shipping is disrupted, how vulnerable they are, or it is.
Most people aren't as clear as they need to be now on how dependent all of our economies are on the vessels that carry oil and gas, if our countries don't produce enough of it to light our fires and keep our lights blazing, and supplying all the stuff we go to the food store and the electronics store and the every other market we go to for appliances, electronics, clothes, and so forth. All of that comes by ship or by air. And containers from China, India, South Korea, Japan, and what have you dominate the supply of goods into France and other countries. Israel is no different from other countries in its dependence on car carriers from Asia. They used to go into Eilat. They can't go into Eilat any longer. There's a very large car storage still in Eilat, but the port itself is under incidental Houthi missile attack and also Iraqi missile attack. And so the port has been shut down. How long the stockpile of cars will last for Israeli consumption is another matter. Haifa and Ashdod and Tel Aviv are the main ports on the Mediterranean side. Ashdod is close to Gaza and is more or less shut down. I don't have current information on whether Hamas continues to rocket Ashdod and prevent ships from entering or leaving the port. Haifa and Tel Aviv combined represent a lifeline that Israel has to have for its civilian economy. The United States is flying in military supplies, enormous numbers of flights, several a day, carrying ammunition, spare parts, and other equipment to assist in the murder of Gaza. But that's, and for the time being, neither Hezbollah nor Hamas rockets have been able to disable Ben-Gurion Airport or the Israeli airfields that the U.S. is using for resupply. But to go back to your question, Chris, without having the numbers in front of me, I'm not an expert on Israel's economy. Let's just say that